Turn in your Bible to Romans chapter number 15. Romans chapter number 15. We've been studying through the book of Romans now for some time, and it's been a blessing to me. We're getting down towards the end of that. The same thing we've been looking at Romans on Sunday mornings. We've been looking at Proverbs on Sunday night, and we're nearing the end of both of these. This will be the last message of the next to the last chapter in the book of Romans. And then in Proverbs, Lord willing, tonight we'll come back and start the 29th chapter, which you know means that we're nearing the end there. Not the next to the last, but we're just next to the next to the last. Amen. And that's like a third cousin 15 times removed. But anyway, next to kin, you know how that is. But we're getting close to being to the end of it. And it's been a blessing to me in these studies. Here's something that's amazing. I've said this I don't know how many times, and it's because I never cease to be amazed at the timeliness of God's Word. How that we could not have planned and orchestrated to have things fall like that they fall. We had those messages that I preached just a couple of weeks ago. For the last, those 2 weeks, we had missionaries with us. We had Brother Herbert and Miss Dorothy was with us. And the situation just happened that he just got voted out from being the interim pastor of that church. And they were hurting, and they had dreams that were unfulfilled. And God allowed us to minister right to that. We was right at that place in the text. It's been there for a couple thousand years. It just so happened that we were studying that the very day they were there. And I told my wife yesterday, I was studying some of this, and I had to stop a few times and just weep. And I said to her, in one occasion, I said, this message today is going to fit us like a glove. One thing it lets me know that God's not through with His church. Amen. Things may look bleak as far as government's concerned. Things may look bleak as far as the economy's concerned. Things may look bleak as far as the nation's concerned. But God's not through with His church. Amen. He's still willing to help folks if they're willing to listen. I believe that. Amen. And so here we are in Romans chapter number 15 and verse number 30 is where we'll pick up reading. Verse number 30, we read down through the end of the chapter and we'll read it responsively as we do. The Bible says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Herford, would you lead us in prayer, please, brother? Yes. 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 Help in that, Lord. Oh, Lord, help. Draw safe. Yes. Help us, Lord. Yes. Yes, please. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Thank you for that prayer. Amen. We're in the closing remarks of Paul's letter to the Romans. All of chapter 15 and 16 are, I believe, closing remarks. Excuse me. When you get to chapter 16, you're going to see that he names a lot of people, sends a lot of commendations and recommendations and things along that line in his conclusion. But in this chapter 15, he's given some closing remarks to his brethren, and he talked to us in the first verses there about receiving a weaker brother, about us working together and laboring together and caring for one another and the things that go along with that. And we talked about Paul's statements there to his brethren. Now, in these verses that we're looking at today, verses 30 through 33, I call it Paul's call to prayer from his, or to his Roman brethren. His call to prayer to his Roman brethren. He starts off these verses by giving us some good statements, but I believe it's good clues about how to pray for pastors, how to pray for missionaries, how to pray for preachers and those that are workers in the vineyard of our Lord. Amen. And he gives us some of these instructions. He gives some information about things that he's planned. He's just done that, and that's going to continue in this as well. But I want you to notice verse number 30 as we look at this verse by verse. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." Those last two words are powerful. Paul said, when you pray, please pray for me. I'm not talking about a weakling. I'm talking about a mighty man of God. Somebody that, by the way, was gifted. He was humanly gifted. Knew all those languages, had all that learning, sat at the feet of Gamaliel, all that ability, and yet Paul said, I need prayer. I need prayer. And so I really, to be honest with you, brethren ought to pray for one another. I've encouraged you a number of times to pray for the members of the church, and I encourage you to have a list and pray for every person. Matter of fact, you probably don't even have to have it written down. You can remember where people sit. We don't have assigned seating, but we don't have to. People assign themselves to a seat. Right? And that's generally the case. I do the same thing. When I go somewhere different, I usually sit, if I've been there before, I'll sit pretty close to where I sat before if I can. Amen. We're creatures of habit. Really, we are. But because of that, you can remember where people sit a lot of times, and you can call out their names unto the Lord, and we ought to pray for one another. The Bible talks about so fulfilling the law of Christ. Bear ye one another's burdens. So fulfilling the law of Christ. Christ didn't come just to be in this world. He came to bear the burdens of many. Amen. If we're going to be like Christ, we ought to be bearing other people's burdens. You ought not walk around and say, I don't care about anybody. They don't bother me. What's that to me? You shouldn't have that attitude. We ought to be concerned about others and their needs. And brethren should pray for brethren. Matter of fact, that ought to come naturally. I believe when the Holy Spirit moves in a person, He makes intercession, He intercedes. And so if He lives in us, it ought to be natural for the Christian to pray. Amen. But think about this. Paul was not just any other brother. He was a great Christian. And yet he was not ashamed to request prayers on his behalf. Amen. Amen. But this request of prayer was not just for Paul's personal benefit. He's not asking, as we'd say, to consume it upon his own lust. He's asking for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says that very phrase there in verse number 30. After he says, pray for me, brethren, he said, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Pray for his sake. But Paul knew that the journey that he's about to make, he's got this journey planned, he's got this journey prepared. He knew that this journey was pregnant with the ability to be problematic. Right. I mean, he knew there was opportunities for problems to arise, and there's going to be, that there's important results coming up, there's hazards that he's going to have to face. Therefore, he begs for prayer from his Roman brethren. We're entering into a new year, and we're going to need to pray for one another. Amen. As your pastor, I encourage you to pray for each other, but I also encourage you to pray for me. I've probably said this before, and I believe it's right. I don't. It's not a selfish thing, but for me to say, whoever your pastor is, he ought to be the first on your prayer list. Right? Because if he falls, think about the damage it's going to do to other people. Amen. A lot of things, I mean, there's a lot riding on the shoulders. I'm not just, by the way, it'd be easier for me to preach this for some other pastor if I was somewhere else preaching or for somebody else to come in and preach it for me. But it's still truth, and I've got to preach the truth, and here we are in the scriptures. I say, I ask you, I plead with you, and that's what Paul's doing. Please, brethren, pray for me. Pray for me. I need prayer. Amen. There's decisions to be made. There's discernment that's got to be done. There's difficult things that we face, and many of it, I'll be honest, many of it I can't share with you. Right? You talk to people, and in those talks, much of that is in confidence. Some things maybe that you can talk about, but much of that's in confidence, and you got to keep it confidential. I can talk to the Lord about it, right? We can talk to one another about it. But we can't. It's not a public thing, and so I say to you, pray for us. There's things that we carry that others may not even know that we're carrying it. But Paul's not asking for personal enrichment. Paul's not asking for popularity. Paul's not asking for esteem. He's not asking for success just for the sake of success. He's asking for success on behalf of the Savior. Amen. Amen. And I put this note here, and I'm going to have notes all through these statements that I'm going to interject for us or applications to us. And I say to you, I covet your prayers for the success of the ministry God's put us in. Amen. I pastored for 26, almost 26 years, like just a few months, being 26 years in North Carolina, a small church in the mountains. We averaged 29. There was 29 there the Sunday they voted me in. There was 29 there the Sunday I resigned. We had ups and downs. We had more than that. We had less than that. But we'd averaged across those 26 years about 29 people. Now I'm pastoring a church quite a bit larger than that. It's more, and I'll be honest, when I came here, I thought, Lord, I can't do this, but I couldn't pastor 29. I had to have God's help. Right. I've told this before. There was a time there at Vision, we were supporting quite a few missionaries, I think then and for a good while, we actually supported more missionaries than we had people. We were supporting more missionaries than we had members. And in the process of doing that, we had one man that was a big giver, and he got out of gear. Right. You know who they fall out of gear with? They fall out of gear with a pastor. And when he fell out of gear, he quit. He quit coming. He quit giving. One of our men in honesty and innocence, he said to me, he was our treasurer, he said, Brother Shepherd, we're going to have to write to missionaries and tell them we can't support them. He said, we can't keep doing what we've been doing. I said to him, I said, Brother, we never have been doing what we've been doing. We never been able to do that. God did it. And by the way, we never had to drop a single missionary. Amen. Amen. I'm going to be honest, I went weeks without a paycheck. We did things that we had to do, but we kept the missionaries going. We kept the lights on the church. Amen. We try to keep things going for the glory of God, and that's what we'll do even in this. And you know that we get in financial struggles. By the way, we're raising a lot more money here than I ever had to try to raise in my life. Right. And again, it's not to consume it on our list. It's for success for the work of God. That's what we're praying about. Amen. And so I'm thinking about that, this ministry that God has given us, this church, the Island Ford Baptist Church, I believe is the body of Christ in this city. Not that no other church is, but God's put us here for a purpose to represent Christ here. I want to see us succeed. Amen. We have successful days, blessings. For example, we got a lot of visitors here today. We don't normally count the people. But on Christmas Eve, we had a lot of visitors, so I counted them. We had 97 people here on Christmas Eve. And I know of at least 7 that were out sick. That's good. That's a good number for this crowd. We don't have hardly that today. Somebody said, how many are you running over there? We're running thousands. We just ain't catching all of them. That's right. But it's not the numbers that's important. It's the ministry that's important. It's been able to reach out and reach the hearts of men. And by the way, that's what our goal has got to be. Amen. I'm grateful that God has seen fit to increase our numbers. I'm grateful that God has seen us, given us the ability to increase our outreach on the radio. Now from, we had two stations, now we've got five stations, plus a translator. We're reaching much further, many more opportunities than we've ever had. I'm thankful for that, but I'm going to tell you that comes with a price. We've got enemies. Paul talks about that. I'll get to that in a minute. Amen. I do want to see our numbers grow, but that's for the glory of God. I want to see our ministry continue, and I want to see our ministry grow, that being for the glory of God. This radio ministry is a great opportunity to reach sinners, shut-ins, other church members that never darken these doors. We're trying to reach them for the glory of God. Amen. It's also a burden to oversee the finances. Amen. To see the daily workload and the things that's got to be done, the constant upkeep and looking, always looking for new and better programs and things that we can do to have services that'll be helpful. All I'm doing is I'm laying it out and saying, brethren, pray for me. If you will, pray for me. Now, he not only asked for prayers for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, but look at it, also for the love of the Spirit. What does that mean, for the love of the Spirit? I believe Paul's referencing the fact here that the Spirit of God sheds the love of God abroad in the heart of believers. That's what he talked about earlier in the book of Romans. Amen. And so he's saying that love binds us together. Amen. Love binds us together. By the way, people you love, you're concerned about. You care about. Right. They have a car wreck. You don't say, I don't care. It wasn't my car. You say, was anybody hurt? Do they need anything? Is everything all right? Because you're concerned about people you love. Amen. And a few weeks ago, I preached pretty rough. In my preaching, I got aggravated at absences for, I believe some have been, unexcused absences, if I can say it that way. But I said then, I said it again, because this is right. Nobody has to answer to me. Everybody has to answer to God. But in that aggravation and in that part of the purpose is this, is that, and I said it then, I said it later, in another night service, that this ministry is not just me. It's not about me. Amen. It's about the glory of God, but it's our ministry together. And we need to work together. We need to have skin in the game. Right. The quarterback may be the one that handles the ball the most, but he's not the only player on the field. And he may not be the most important player on the field. Right. The fellow that's sitting on the bench that ain't even made it out there may be very important, because he might be the one needed right at the right moment. That's right. For such a time as this. And so we want to be ready and work together in this thing. So Paul here is praying for the love of the saints. He's praying for prayers that would be on the behalf of the Lord's work. And he's praying for prayers that would unite them that love the Lord's workers. Amen. Now Paul inserts a strange word in verse 30. Look at it. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit. Look at this. That ye strive together with me. Strive together with me in your prayer. Fight with me, is what he said. Wrestle with me. He's not saying wrestle against me. He said, I need a tag team partner. If I could use that idea. Yeah, when I get down there and I'm about beat up, I need you on the ropes ready to jump out there and help me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If y'all carnal enough to understand that, right? But what he's saying, the idea there is this, by the way, prayer is a battle. Prayer, you got to battle the flesh just to pray. But you got to battle the devil when you pray. It is spiritual warfare. They're called prayer warriors for a reason. Amen. And Paul's asking for prayer warriors, and Paul's asking them to help him because praying is struggling. Amen. Amen. Sometimes it's a physical struggle to pray, but every time it's a spiritual battle. Always. So Paul's planning about praying for these things, and he's asking for additional prayer warriors to help him storm the gates of heaven, to help him call on God on his behalf. Now, before I leave this verse, notice the reference made to the Trinity in this verse. Verse number 30. I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, that's the Son, right? And for the love of the Spirit, that's a capital S, that's the Holy Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God, that's the Father, for me. That's the whole Godhead, by the way. When we're praying, who are we praying? Jesus, the Holy Spirit, or God? That's the same person. They're one person. You say, how do you understand that? I don't understand that, but I just accept it. Amen. I'm glad I know who Jesus is, by the way. Amen. He's the Godhead, and that's what he's talking about there. Now, Paul gets specific about his prayer request in verse number 31. Verse number 31, he said, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. So Paul's first concern was for the glory of God. He talked about that. Next he gets in there to talking about his deliverance from unbelievers. Paul expected opposition. He expected opposition. He didn't expect that every time he got up to preach that everybody's going to be in agreement and that everybody was going to love him. And that everybody's going to appreciate what he had to say. Matter of fact, he expected that it wouldn't be that way. He expected opposition. Amen. By the way, he had faced it everywhere he went. Some of the places he's even stoned, drug outside the city and left for dead. He is jailed. He was called, hauled off. He was run out of the city. All kinds of things that happened to Paul. He faced all kinds of difficulties along the way. Paul knew that there was opposition, but he knew especially there would be opposition in Jerusalem among the Jews and the Judaizing believers there. He knew that there would be opposition that he would face in those places. Amen. He knew that it could be especially violent. And it could be especially vicious. I hesitate to say too much about that on the air, but we're in a day of violence and viciousness. There's a crowd that their watchword is tolerance, but they're not at all tolerant. Amen. They talk about things like microaggressions, which are made up offenses. But they're not against real aggression, causing real troubles and trials. And I've shared it with some of the men in prayer, and I'm not going to mention live on air about some of the things that have been done. And somebody said it gives somebody an idea about some things. But people are getting more and more sly, more and more sneaky, more and more clever, more and more subtle, like the serpent, at how to try to cause trouble in a church. Especially through social media, right? Especially through the airwaves, through the internet, or even through the phone lines, or even through checking accounts, and all kinds of things that can be done. And people are getting adept at doing that, and they're not afraid to attack the work of God in that area. And here's what Paul said. Paul didn't say, let's call CLA. Paul didn't say, let's get us a good lawyer. Paul said, let's get a hold of God. That's what we got to do. We got to get a hold of God. Amen. Now, we lock the doors when we have services because you never know what's going to show up. We have cameras all over the place because you never know what's going to take place. Right? We have men that carry open. We have men that don't. I'll say, that are not open carrying. All right, is that okay? Yeah. One fellow said, Dad said he saw the sign one time in a church in North Carolina that said that if you're carrying a firearm, we request that you be careful with it and that you don't, you know, brandish it around, that you just be careful with your firearm. And if there's trouble, we ask that you be careful in your targeting. good aim is a good thing. Right. Know how to, amen, know how to handle things. All right. What he said, you say, preacher, are you trying to scare us? No, I'm not. I'm just saying, I have to think about these things. I have to think about what's going on in the parking lot while we're having services. I have to think about what's happening with the little children while we're in services. Right? Because we're living in a day of predators and a day of evil and a day of perverts. And by the way, I want them to come to church. I want them to hear the gospel. But I'm not going to let them have their way and commit sin and fornication and wickedness right under our noses. Amen. Amen. I want them to hear the gospel. Amen. I surely do. Amen. So I'm just preaching here about what Paul said that he knew. What Paul said that he anticipated that there would be problems when he got to Jerusalem. Amen. Paul says here that he says that he might be delivered from the hands of them that do not believe. That phrase, them that do not believe in Judea. By the way, Paul faced that in all the cities that he went to. Some of the opposition, some of the unbelievers are in authority in government. It was in Paul's day. It still is in our day. Matter of fact, some of them rascals, they use that as a drawing tool to get them elected. That they're wicked and they know how to game the system and they know how to do these things. And I've got to be careful. I'll get off on that in the political realm. But he's saying here that some of these leaders in the government, the cities, leaders in the states, leaders in the nations, usually that leadership is in the hands of them that do not believe the gospel. Paul said, I need prayer. Amen. We support missionaries that go, some that go into lands that what they call closed countries. In other words, you can't publicly announce that you're coming in there to spread the gospel. One fellow said this, we shouldn't call it closed, we should call it clever. It's not closed, you just got to use cleverness to get in there. And Jesus said to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Amen. And all through the Bible, matter of fact, listen, they can't slam the door and tell God he can't get in. If God wants in, he can get in. Amen. And there's sinners behind those closed doors that need the gospel. Amen. That's one of the blessings of radio. We can get in there. Amen. We can get in the prisons. We can get in the homes. If they won't let you in the door, the gospel can still get in through the radio. Amen. We need prayer. I'm just saying prayer. That's what he's saying. There's opposition. Paul knew. Paul was uniquely aware of the virulent opposition because he himself had once been an opposer of the gospel. He himself had once been a persecutor. He had been one that had gone in and hauled them in and brought them in, even stood as they were being executed. For the gospel's sake, Paul knew about all that stuff. He had persecuted the church before his conversion. Therefore, he knew the animosity that could be in a man's heart. Even when he thought he was doing right, by the way. Amen. So, I'll say, Paul, everywhere he went, he faced opposition from the Jews, the unbelieving Jews. He knew that if that was true everywhere he went, then especially on their home turf. When he gets to Judea, when he gets to Jerusalem, he knew he's going to face that opposition. By the way, if you'll read Acts chapter 21, 22, 23, and 24, you'll find out that everything Paul said right here might happen, did happen. Yep, did happen. Paul knew that he was going into trouble. He knew there's going to be opposition there. And they opposed him every way they could. They opposed him with public tumult. They raised a ruckus, got a mob, and they raised a big ruckus and tried to cause all kinds of trouble. They even had some men that bound themselves to an oath that they wouldn't eat again till they killed him, till they assassinated him. Yeah, they had a plot for his assassination. He had to testify before two successive Roman governors. They tried to procure his condemnation from the Roman authorities. Finally, he had to appeal to Rome, his Roman citizenship, that he could go to Rome and stand before Caesar and give his argument there. So Paul knew the likelihood of these things. And yet Paul was determined to make this trip for the glory of God. Amen? Hold your place here in Romans 15. Turn back to Acts chapter 20. I mentioned 21 through 24 tell us about what did take place. But look at chapter 20. He's addressing these believers as he's getting ready to leave. He addresses them here in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 22. I could read quite a bit here, but I'll start with verse 22. He says, "And now I, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." Well, he had a pretty good idea. He didn't know it, but he could pretty well figure. "Say," I don't know, "except that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." Paul said, everywhere I go, the Holy Spirit is sending me warnings. Everywhere I go. Right. Verse number 24. "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Paul said, "I'm not afraid of dying. I'm willing to die when it's my time. But I want you to pray that God keeps me alive to do the work of God as long as he wants me to." That's what he's praying about to these Romans. He said, "Pray for me that I be delivered from these unbelievers." Amen. Now again, I interject myself here and say this, that most of you know that with the radio being such a public ministry, I've expected ever since before I came here for the devil to attack the public ministry. Right. I've expected that we'd be assailed and assaulted by the community of perverts. That's what I've expected. Just be honest with you. But now, especially since they've got some governmental authorities on their side, on the same page with them, protecting them from any language that might offend them. I don't want to be offensive. I want to reach sinners with the gospel. But nobody gets help till they know they got a problem. Right? If I call hims hers, I ain't helping him. Him needs to know he's not a her. Y'all following me? We can't lie. When we lie, you don't help people. Amen. Nobody ever got help by somebody telling them a lie. You got to tell them the truth, and you got to say it with love. Amen. That we're not hating you. We're not attacking you. We're trying to help you. We're trying to rescue you from the cesspool of sin you're locked up in. Amen. By the way, drunkards don't need to be told, "Well, you got a disease." No, they're drunkards. They're sinners. They need God. Amen. Adulterers don't need to be told, "Well, I just want you to be happy." No, they need to be told, "You're sinners and you need God." Amen. They got to be told that. So I've expected trouble to come. I've expected them to try to shut down the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the Word of God. Any speech they deem offensive. Hate speech, they call it. By the way, they hate it. That's why they hate it. That's why they call it hate speech. But I know this. I know that God's Word will not return unto him void, and he can keep us on the air as long as he wants to. That's right. But I do plead with you diligently to pray fervently that God would protect this ministry, that God would help us provide for its continuance. Amen. And notice Paul's concern. I'm in verse 31, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. Look at this. And that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. So unbelievers and believers. He's concerned about his acceptance among the saints. So opposers, not just among them that believe not the gospel, but sometimes opposers from brethren that don't see things the way we see things. Amen. Brethren, the saints, the saints that didn't believe like Paul believed. Amen. Paul faced this particularly from those, what we call Judaizing Christians, those believers that told new converts that if you're going to really be saved, if you're really going to go to heaven, then you're going to have to be circumcised and you're going to have to keep the law. And they tried to put them back under that Old Testament law. And Paul told them, no, that's not true. You're saved by grace through faith. Plus nothing, minus nothing. Amen. Amen. Paul preached a grace gospel, and some of those believers, even though they were believers, they didn't see it that way and they didn't believe it that way, and they opposed him in what he preached. Amen. Paul was persona non grata. They didn't want him around, especially because he took the gospel to the Gentiles. They were a very, what's the word I'm looking for? Prejudiced and racist group of people. Only the Jews, they thought, should have the gospel. And Paul said, no, the whole world needs the gospel. He taught salvation by grace alone to whosoever will. Amen. And some of them didn't like that. These opposers were dispersed in many places, but they held a special congregation in Jerusalem and that surrounding area. Amen. Now here's another note for you and I. It fits us. Because we know that many of those that we seek to minister to, that we try to give them the Word of God, they don't see everything in the Word of God like we do. By the way, I'm not careful. You say, preacher, why are you talking like this right on the radio? Because we can't hide what we are. Amen. We can't hide what we believe. Faith comes by hearing. And if they don't hear it, they'll never believe it. They got to hear the truth. But we preach to people, some of them that are not convinced that the King James Bible is God's word for today. Right? Amen. I'm not saying they're lost. They just don't believe like we do. Right? There's some listeners that disagree with us about what modest apparel is. They think modest apparel is a one-piece bathing suit. That's not modest. Amen. Unless it's coveralls. That's one piece. Amen. Long sleeve coveralls, that'd be all right, I guess. They may not agree with us about speaking in tongues, about eternal security, about the authority of pastors, about when the church started, about what kind of music is acceptable and pleasing unto God, or any number of things. They may not agree with us on that. And sometimes because they don't agree, they'll oppose. That's what Paul said. Paul said, listen, pray for me that these people, though they don't see everything like we do, will not oppose what we're trying to do, that they'll accept us getting the gospel out. Amen. Amen. Paul did not pronounce these disagreeing Christians as unbelievers. He called them saints. Amen. I say it again, Paul did not pronounce them or denounce them as unbelievers, and neither should we. He sought that his ministry might be accepted among the saints even if they disagreed. And so should we. Amen. Amen. The problem with this opposition from fellow believers is that sometimes it comes in connection with the opposition of unbelievers. When believers disagree, these unbelievers agree with them to disagree with others. That's what happens. And so I say we need to pray about this. By the way, God can grant favor among men. He did that for Joseph. He did that for Daniel. Amen. He did that for John, the beloved. He can do that for you and I. He can grant favor among men. We need to pray that God would do that very thing. Amen. That God would give us unity where unity is possible. Amen. Amen. By the way, we'd all do well to remember David when he went to fight Goliath. Right before David stepped out on that battlefield to face the giant, his brother accused him of being an upstart rebel. His brother! Brother Billy Parsons said one time, where would Israel be today if David had fought his brother instead of fighting the giant? And if we're not careful, the devil will get us fighting the brethren. Instead of fighting the giant. Amen. He'll get us fighting one another instead of facing the giants that we need. So I say we need prayer that we stay focused in this battle. Amen. That we stay committed, that we stay on course in these battles. Now, again, one more statement here from verse number 31. That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, look at this phrase, may be accepted of the saints. You may say, why in the world? There's another strange phrase. Paul is, we done got the offering plates back yonder. Paul is bringing an offering to Jerusalem, to the poor saints. They're poor. Rome has stamped down on Israel. Rome has stamped down on Jerusalem. And Paul's trying to help them with an offering. And he said, pray that it'll be acceptable. I mean, when somebody tries to hand you a $100 bill, do you fight them? No! You say, you got another? I like them better than pears. Amen. No, but you say, why in the world would Paul be worried that they wouldn't accept that? Well, first of all, they're Jews, they're racist, and this money's coming from Gentiles. Yeah. But here's another thing. How many people you ever saw got mad because you're trying to give them good news? Because you're just trying to help them. Because you're just trying to tell them, listen, this is not a good idea what you're planning to do. When you try to hand them a gospel tract, or you try to witness to them on the job, or you just try to pray with them about a need, and they get aggravated because you're trying to help them. Paul said, that's going to happen. That is going to happen. And we see it all the time. Amen. Sometimes they react violently, ferociously, because you care about their soul more than they do. Amen. Are you calling me a sinner? Well, you do good to acknowledge you're a sinner and ask God for help. That's ought to be our, but they get offended. Right. All right, look at verse number 32. We're winding her down. Verse 32. That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Amen. Paul's expecting this trip to Jerusalem to be a missionary journey in nature. He expected it to be compatible. He expected it to be exhaustive in nature. He's expecting to be very tired. And so he believes, if I can just get through this and get to you at Rome, I'll be refreshed. He's looking for some refreshment when he gets to Rome. Now, since he didn't see a need to start a church there, they've already got churches in Rome. He's writing to them in this letter. He didn't see the need. I mean, I'm sure Paul would preach the gospel. I'm sure that Paul would try to evangelize the lost. I'm sure he'd try to encourage the saints and all that. But Paul really felt like that if he could get there in their services and fellowship with them, that he would be refreshed in his spirit. Amen. Amen. Now, I don't imagine that Paul imagined that he wouldn't have opposition at Rome. I don't think Paul said, the devil won't fight me in Rome. Buddy, if he's anywhere, he's going to fight you, it'd be at Rome. Right? That's his stronghold. That was a governmental stronghold of that day. And sure, he knew that he's going to face opposition, but here's what he knew. He knew that the opposition would be worth it if he could have sweet fellowship with the saints of God, if he could meet with the brethren, if he could sing with the brethren, if he could worship with the brethren, if he could read with the brethren, amen, if he could pray with the brethren. He knew it would be worth it because it'd be refreshing. Amen, amen, amen. And I say to you, soldiers need refreshment. Amen. Even Paul longed for refreshment. Amen. Pastors and leaders need refreshment. This is not a playground, it's a battleground. Amen. Brother Roloff sang that song. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation field. It's a fight and not a game. That's right. It's a battlefield. But refreshment does not come from laying out on some beach somewhere like the world would expect. Refreshment does not always come from being in a secluded cabin somewhere away from everybody like I would prefer. But refreshment comes by meeting with God's people and meeting with God when you meet with God's people. Amen. When somebody stands up and gives a testimony, that's refreshing. Amen. When somebody sheds a tear and talks about how they've gone through the fire, but God's brought them through the fire and in His mercy He's delivered them, that's refreshing. When somebody comes in and says, "Preacher, I've been battling this, but God's helped me." Amen. That's refreshing. Amen. When you see somebody you witness to come, just show up at the house of God, that's refreshing. Amen. Paul knew that that would be refreshing. We ought to know that too. Fellowshipping with the brethren ought to be refreshing. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I don't think that's talking about a Baptist church because it said unity. But wouldn't that be refreshing? Oh, yes. That's refreshment that Paul's looking forward to. Amen. Paul ends this prayer request with verse 33. Now the God of peace. I wanted to say the peace of God. That's how we think of it, ain't it? He didn't just want them to have the peace of God. He wanted them to have the God of peace. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Somebody said, he is a Southerner, because he said, "You all." Amen. Of course, if he's from Wilkes County, North Carolina, he said, "Ewens." Yep. Paul is not praying for the peace of God to be, the peace of God to be with them, because he knew that they had the peace of God. But he prayed for the God of peace to be, he's talking to saved people. Now, he's not saying, "I hope you get peace," because saved people have peace, even in the midst of storms. Brother Jacob said something about that in Sunday school this morning. Saved people have peace. He's not praying for them to have peace. He's talking to brethren. He knows he got peace. But he said, "I want God to manifest Himself in your presence." It's one thing to have the peace of God in your soul. It's another thing to have the presence of God flood your soul with peace. You ever been in an automobile and the Lord show up in that automobile? Maybe a song come over the radio. You got something on a CD or cassette back in the day, and 8-track tape player when it's growing up, and you're going down the road and God gets in the car with you. You know what happens? It gets crowded. You know why? Because your heart can't contain Him and your automobile can't contain Him and the world can't even contain Him. He's so great. Amen. But He shows up in power, and that's what Paul is praying for to happen with them. Amen. And that's what we ought to pray for. I pray that, and I prayed it this morning before we got here. I prayed it in the prayer room. Lord, today, manifest Your presence in our midst. We don't just need to come and see one another. I mean, that's refreshing. Thank God for that. I'm not putting that down, but that's not enough. We need God to manifest Himself. There's little children all in here, and they're rapidly coming to that time. I don't think there's a necessary age, but that time of accountability where somewhere along the line, the Holy Ghost is going to shine the light in their darkness. Right now, they don't even know they're in darkness. Right? But one of these days they're going to know it. And I want God to show up and let them see the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We got to keep going. We can't stop. Amen. We can't stop. We got to keep going for the glory of God. We got to push through whatever the obstacles, whatever the battle. We just got to keep going for the glory of God, and we got to keep praying. But listen to me. This first Sunday of the new year, our watchword for this year is prayer. Brethren, pray for me. I'll ask that for myself, but pray for one another. Amen. Amen. Pray that God deals with these that are coming Amen. So here, Paul talks about this peace of God and the God of peace. That's a phrase, I think only Paul uses this phrase. That's one of the reasons I think he wrote the book of Hebrews, because it's found in the book of Hebrews. Only other places it's found other than the ones we know are the epistles of Paul. But when Paul's closing the book of Hebrews, if you want to turn over there, I'll read you these words, chapter 13. Paul's closing the book of Hebrews. I don't go all the way to the end, but verse number 20 is where this phrase is found. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Listen, Paul's saying, I want God to manifest Himself, because that's how the work of God gets done. God moves through the Spirit. God moves through the Son to do the work that He wants done. Amen. Now let me conclude with this thought, and just if you bear with me two or three more minutes. An observation about this prayer request. Somebody might argue and say, preacher, everything Paul asked for, it went right the opposite. He said, pray that I be delivered from those that don't believe. You know what happened? They captured him right in the temple. They arrested him and dragged him out into the public and would have beat him to death if some officials didn't intervene. And Paul was dragged off before those officials and was held for 2 years. 2 years Paul's in bonds. 2 years Paul's in prison. After he just said, pray that I be delivered. But you know what happened after that 2 years' time? Paul pleaded for his Roman citizenship and his right to go before Caesar. And he went to Rome just like he prayed about doing. And he didn't even have to pay the bus ticket. The Roman government put him on a ship and sent him to Rome. They paid the way. Now he's still in bonds, but he's still able to preach. Paul wasn't concerned too much about what happened to him. He's wanting the gospel to go on. That's all he's interested in, just the gospel go on. Amen. And really, that's where we ought to be. Right? Yeah. If I can drive a Lexus, or if I had to ride a bicycle, just so long as the grace of God's going on. I know they'd call us Mormons if we was riding bicycles, but you understand. But listen, really, whatever. If we can wear a nice suit, or if we have to come in threads and barely making it, if we can keep the gospel going forth, that ought to be our heart. That ought to be our heart. Lord, help us not be worried about ourselves so much, but help us be interested in the ministry and the work of God. Amen. So my point is, if God's glorified and the work is extended, then God gets the glory for that, and everything else will be all right. If we got to struggle, if we got to have some sleepless nights, if we got to have some restless days, it'll be worthwhile to see the gospel go forth. Amen. If we can just get to that place and the Lord say these words, well done, it'll be all worthwhile. Let's stand to our feet. They're going to come with a song. My request is, brethren, pray for me. Pray for me. Amen. Thank you. I was wondering what they was grinning about while I'm trying to preach. I was letting my little light shine. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for your help. We need your help, Lord. Lord, I pray that people's not been distracted by that light. I pray, Lord, that our thoughts have not been distracted by other things going on. But, Lord, that we would see just what you're teaching that is applicable to this moment, to this church, to this ministry. Lord, help us that we'd be surrendered our all to thee. our all. That we could see you work however you see fit to do it, Lord. But Lord, that we might be delivered from them that don't believe. That, Lord, that those that we're trying to minister to would receive the gift we're trying to give them. The offering that we're trying to help them with. That they would receive that. That Jesus Christ might be glorified. That the work of God might go on. Lord, I pray that there'd be refreshing days. I pray, dear God, that you'd strengthen us for the battle. And help us along this race for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.